Hello, it's Dr. Jeff with another episode of Talk Healthy Today. This episode, we will welcome another amazingly knowledgeable guest from the health and nutrition field. Practitioner Cheryl Myers is here. You don't want to miss this episode. Better Nutrition presents Talk Healthy Today, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at europharmausa.com.
Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy, it's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Kids will be kids. We know this. But if you have a child with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, life can be a roller coaster. Ditto for adults with the condition. But are drugs the answer? Health expert Cheryl Myers doesn't think so, and she joins me today to talk about natural alternatives to managing the symptoms of ADHD, including dietary changes and supplements that can calm the mind and enhance focus in both kids and
adults. A little background
on my guest. Cheryl Myers is an author, practitioner, and an expert on integrative health and natural medicine. She is a nationally recognized speaker who has been interviewed by the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Prevention Magazine. Her many articles have been published in such diverse journals as Aesthetic Surgery Journal and Nutrition and Complementary Care. And her research on botanicals has been presented at the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology and the North American Menopause Society. She is a well-known advocate for bridging the worlds of mainstream and natural medicine. A graduate of Purdue University, Ms. Myers has been clinically certified in oncology and gerontology, has an additional degree in psychology focusing on physiological brain function, and is the head of scientific affairs and education for Europharma. This is going to be a great topic. Hey, Cheryl, so glad to have you back with us today. This is something we're hearing more and more about.
Thank you so much for having me, and it's something I feel passionately about. You know, good health starts very early in life, and if you have a child that is struggling with some of the issues associated with attention deficit disorder or attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder, and also other things like kids that are dealing with issues on the autism spectrum as well, like Asperger's and those types of neurological differences, I think that it becomes extra challenging to help set these children up for a lot of success and to do our very best to make their brain healthy and their neurological system functioning exactly the way it should be.
Well, you know, it seems like we're micromanaging ourselves these days. We have so many things going on and with so much stuff that we're thinking about, and we bring all of these time-saving devices in. And in the area of adults, it seems like we have so many things scattered around and many things that are unfinished and so many, I guess, pots on the fire, if you will, and that doesn't really help the situation at all.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, it used to be that, and I'm not a person that wants to talk about yearning for the olden times, but there are certainly advantages and disadvantages to living in today's modern electronic age. And one of the disadvantages is that the ability to have many forms of electronic input and entertainment coming into us at one time. So I think that most of the folks out there who have older kids have had the experience of having a child on their smartphone while the TV is going and they're doing homework. You know, that kind of multitasking is not very healthy for developing a good, strong ability to focus. And just like other muscles in the body, focus is a muscle that you improve by practicing. And I'm not going to say that we should all go back to the covered wagon days when, you know, children ran free and, you know, only spent a few months of the year in the classroom and had lots of physical activity and were better able to focus, because there were a lot of disadvantages in that time as well. But I think that if we can incorporate some of those learnings into helping kids achieve better levels of focus and concentration, partly through diet, partly through physical activity, and also in some instances through targeted dietary supplements, we can make a real difference.
You know, and like I mentioned at the very beginning, you know, this is something that is afflicting kids and adults. We seem to hear about it more with children, but lately I'm hearing about it almost on an equal plane with adults. And I think sometimes we kind of get lost in the mix as an adult because, you know, sometimes we just think it's overwhelm and lack of sleep and lack of focus or getting older or, you know, just, you know, just too many things going on at once. But sometimes diagnostically, you know, we find out that we may actually have the problem too.
Well, absolutely. Some, you know, sometimes they say you outgrow it. I just think that adults learn how to better manage some of their challenges when it comes to interactions and with learning. I am not a believer that ADHD and ADD are necessarily bad things. I don't think of them as a disease. I truly do think of them as a neurological difference. And I think that when we pathologize a wide variety of differences amongst children, that we don't do them any favors. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't parents out there that are dealing with a child that has multiple neurological challenges that makes it virtually impossible for them to get through the day to achieve what they want to achieve, or impossible for them to sit in a classroom setting. But I think that those children are in the extreme minority, and that there are so many other things that we can do to help children better improve both their behavior and their ability to focus without having to go to extremes. So I believe that there have been studies that show that ADD and ADHD can actually be a gift as the person gets older. I saw an interview with a neurosurgeon one time who says he only has to sleep about 5 hours a night. He always has so much energy and his mind is always going in so many directions that when he is operating on a patient, he's also obviously highly intelligent, but when he's operating on a patient, he can foresee like 12 or 15 or 20 different potential outcomes simultaneously. So there are certain gifts that having these neurological differences convey upon us. Also, it's been theorized that children who have issues with ADD, ADHD, are more distractible, but that also means that in the wild, if they were growing up in a hunter-gatherer society, that they are more alert to threats, so that it actually can be a survival mechanism, that individuals that are plodding along thinking about what they're going to roast over the cook fire tonight and staring at the ground and are not easily distractible are more easy prey for the tiger that leaps out of the jungle, whereas children that are constantly vigilant and constantly scanning are much more alert to changes in their environment and disrupted by them, which is a good thing in that situation. So I mean, this has nothing to do, of course, with natural health or dietary supplements, but I do think that probably the healthiest thing we can do for children with neurological differences is to rethink what mold we're trying to fit them in, to try to step away from disease model and start moving towards, okay, this is who you are. Let's help you with the parts that are challenging, and let's nourish those parts that actually are giving you an advantage in the world.
Now, I remember when I was a kid growing up, it was a long time ago, but they always said I was hyper, and I was, mm-hmm. and I meant it. But, you know, the solution back then was your parents would just throw you outside, and you would run around, and you would just, by the end of the day, you'd get home, and you wouldn't be pacing and going crazy. You'd be tired because you've been outside playing, climbing trees, and, I mean, that was basically the general solution to hyper kids was throw them outside and tell them to play.
Well, you kind of are, I think, on to a good idea there, because there are some correlations between how the increasing demands in schools that kids sit still for long periods of time, and that kids are also sitting still when they get home from school, whether it's in front of video games or whether it's watching TV or whatever it is they may be doing. With all of that sitting, the lack of activity does come out in some ways that can be quite distracting. Like the inability to sit still or twitches or fidgeting or mind constantly wandering. So I think that incorporating healthy levels of physical activity, well, shoot, that would be good for all children, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. But especially for kids that seem to have, that are there, those little jackrabbits that can't seem to slow down for 5 minutes, yes, give them lots and lots of physical activity. Their body is craving that.
Is it a wiring issue?
Well, it probably is, but mm-hmm. one could also say that all of our personalities and all our strengths and issues, mm-hmm. whether you have ADD or ADHD or you don't, are probably wiring issues
as well.
So, yes, there are some things that make you more likely to have neurological differences, certain drug exposures in the mother, certain types of stressful events. It's been shown that children that are born into uncertain situations, and this going back to the hunter-gatherer hypothesis, makes a lot of sense. Kids that are born into very precarious situations, unhealthy or dysfunctional homes where they don't know what to expect from moment to moment, do become hypervigilant, and that part of their brain that is constantly scanning the environment grows, and the part that's able to focus, it gets shortchanged a little bit. So some of these differences, yes, do have some external influences, and some of them do happen in kids who have had, for example, sometimes premature births or short periods of hypoxia, lack of oxygen to the brain, can cause some challenges in the brain, and the brain responds sometimes in ways that make behaviors kind of challenging. But I still believe that for most children, there's a lot that we can do before we take that very last resort, which is unfortunately in so many situations the first resort, oh, let's put them on medications immediately.
Mm-hmm. You know, other things, do these things play a role as well? A good night's rest, you know, a cleaner diet, cutting back on sugar. Are these also tools in the arsenal?
Absolutely. But good luck with a good night's rest.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these children really do have a lot of sleep issues. But setting that one aside for a moment, but absolutely cleaner eating, absolutely cleaner eating. We say that for everything that we ever talk about with any disease, with any health state, with any health challenge, we always come back to what are we putting in our bodies. You know, the food we put in our bodies becomes who we are. You need to start thinking about it that way. And there have been just buckets of research on artificial flavors, artificial colors, that those FD&C number fill in the blank, that have been banned in Europe because of their direct links to creating attention issues in children. We seem to, in America, be the slow learners in that we are not gaining from the experiences of other countries who have banned these ingredients. And I believe that if we can get children eating as cleanly as possible, absolutely it's going to make a difference. There is, as far as sugar is concerned, there are some studies that say, well, sugar intake has nothing to do with making a child, quote, hyper, unquote. I don't believe that. I believe that just because you eat a candy bar doesn't mean that you're going to be bouncing off the walls. But I do believe that long-term consumption of sugar changes our bodies and puts us into a pro-inflammatory status. Long-term consumption of sugar feeds the yeast in our intestines and starves the good bacteria. And so it disrupts that intestinal milieu, which also plays a role in, they're finding increasingly, neurological functioning. So you need to try to take a step back from of those refined sugars and refined carbohydrates, a step towards more fiber to nourish the good bacteria in the gut, maybe even some good yogurts and such if your child likes that. And also just look at trying to eliminate some of those triggers from the diet. There's also some individuals, some practitioners who focus a lot on food sensitivities, where there are certain foods that children are sensitive to that elimination from the diet can make some big headway, but that's a long process, and I would recommend that people work with a practitioner while they're doing that because, as I said, it can take quite a while. There's no quick and easy test to say, oh, if we only remove corn and gluten, you'll be just fine. Oh, if we only remove milk products, you'll be just fine. It's really a lot slower than that, and it takes sometimes even a year or two of experimenting to find out if there are certain things in the diet that are triggers for your child.
Want to see what's coming up on the show? Like our Facebook page, or follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let us know what your favorite healthy habit is. Then listen in. You might just hear it mentioned right here on the show. Face it, walking into most health food stores today can boggle the brain. Faced with shelf after shelf of supplements, how do you know what to choose? Better Nutrition can help. Better Nutrition is the healthy shopping magazine packed with useful information on a variety of health topics as well as deliciously healthy recipes and good-for-you lifestyle tips. Every issue will help you stay up to date on the best products and advice for optimal wellness. Pick up your copy of Better Nutrition at fine health food stores near you today. Today's topic on ADHD support is really important. But I also want to make sure to remind you about the people who make this show possible. Give me 30 seconds and we'll get right back to the topic of ADHD.
Got pain? Pain can wreck your life. Think of all the things you can do with less pain. Garden, play sports, hike, travel, and really enjoy your life. Curamin relieves pain due to overuse. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed. What are people saying about Curamin? The relief I felt was unreal. Curamin is absolutely amazing. Ask for the Terry Naturally brand Curamin at your favorite health food store today. That's Curamin, C-U-R-A-M-I-N. Curamin will change your life. Stop pain now. Does not interfere with stomach, liver, or kidney function. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA, and this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Stop pain now with Curamin.
Cheryl, I have a question for you. I know I want to talk about some things that we can do nutritionally, but I can't help thinking about the standard diet that is fed to kids at school. And, you know, I have friends that work in the school district out where I am. And, you know, we've talked about what they feed the kids, and the kids come back from lunch and they're exhausted. They want to take naps. There's rarely anything on there that's going to be really good for them. It's a lot of starchy carbohydrates and a lot of sugar-based foods. And, you know, they get back to the classroom, they can't get the kids to concentrate.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. However, I want to say something in defense of the schools.
Okay.
There have been several schools that have tried to incorporate fruit and whole grains and better quality of food or healthier types of food for school lunch programs, and then they end up with 90% more wastage because the children throw it out. If a child is eating a certain type of diet at home that we call the SAD diet, the standard American diet, if they're having Pop-Tarts for breakfast and hot dogs and macaroni and cheese for dinner, and you try to give them a raw apple and a quinoa salad for lunch, the children are not going to eat that. So I think that that parents and schools need to work together. I've heard of really progressive schools. In fact, there's a program that was started by Alice Waters out in the North California area. She's a very, very famous restaurateur of growing food. The school grows their own food that the children help to plant and take care of and care for and harvest and then incorporate it into meals so that the children are part of the process from beginning to end of how the food comes into their diet, and they're more likely to eat it if they've been involved in growing it in the first place. It becomes, they take more possession of it. So, yes, I think there's certainly things that we could do with the diets that are offered in school, and I agree with you, some of them are just abysmal. But at the same time, I think that it really starts in the home, because the children are not going to eat some of the foods. They're not going to eat celery and carrot sticks if the parents are not feeding them those kinds of foods in the home as well.
You know, and that's a really good point. You know, point taken. You know, and it is part of the big picture. You know, the parents send their kids to school and they have that meal there, but if they're not carrying on the same philosophy at home and wanting it to be healthy all the way around, it's not going to be a good fit. So, you know, I agree.
You know, and eating healthy doesn't have to cost a lot more. I do agree that organic produce costs more than not organic produce. There are some additional costs, but it doesn't have to cost very much more. I believe it's worth the investment. I will say this, is that sometimes eating healthy is a more of a time investment, and I think that parents just need to think about the investment they're making in their child and set aside some extra time to try to put together at least 50% healthier meals. That starts to get us going in the right direction. And if you have a child who has focus challenges or activity challenges, kids with ADD, it's not just about paying attention. It's a lot of social misjudgment as well. Kids with ADD sometimes blurt things out or say things that are inappropriate in very sensitive situations that can create hostility or that can get the other kids mad at them. Kids with ADD and ADHD sometimes stand too close. They have a difficult time perceiving personal space. So it's not just about paying attention. It's about helping the child to live cooperatively in a group of people that aren't wired quite the same way as he or she is.
Now, supplementation-wise, obviously a good multiple vitamin. How about some offshoots of that could be beneficial for both kids and adults?
Well, absolutely. I think that one of the most important things that you can do for your brain is to feed it lots and lots of healthy omega-3 fatty acids. And unless you're eating cold water fatty fish from the ocean, four or five times a week, then it probably makes sense to use an omega-3 supplement. The first thought of most people is, oh gosh, then I'll take some fish oil. But I am not a big fan of fish oil for a couple of reasons. One is that the carrier in fish oil that carries the omega-3s are triglycerides, and most people don't need more of those in their diet. The second thing is that to create fish oil, you have to apply a lot of pressure and heat, and it twists the omega-3s so they're no longer bioidentical. They're not exactly what occurs in the body. And third, they have certain levels of rancidity because they're in oil and it becomes oxidized that can create antioxidant damage in the body. So with children who have these issues, this is usually going to be a long-term supplementation situation. So I often recommend there's a product out of France called Vect Omega, which is a type of omega-3 fatty acids pulled from the head of the salmon. So it's food-grade salmon that's going into the food chain. The head that would have been a waste material ends up providing the omega-3s. They use cold water and enzymes in the extraction process so that there's no twisting of that backbone that carries the omega-3s. So they are absolutely bioidentical. It's higher in DHA than EPA, and DHA is the omega-3 that's better for children who are having struggles with focus and behavioral issues. And it's not on a triglyceride backbone. It's on a phospholipid backbone, so it makes it absorb ever so much easier. And it's not an oil, so you don't have to worry about rancidity or burping that sometimes very unpleasant aftertaste that people get when they use fish oils. So this is something that I've recommended to a lot of children, a lot of parents with kids, because the tablets that comes as a dry tablet or as a capsule can easily be crushed and put in a little bit of applesauce or yogurt. The capsule can be opened up and put in whatever it is you want to get for your children who can't swallow. The dose is extremely low because its absorption is so much higher than triglyceride-based omega-3s in fish oil. You can get by with only one tablet, two tablets a day. So it's not like you're trying to get this poor child to drink a shot glass full of something that tastes like, you know, something that they're not very keen on. So we've had some wonderful reports from individuals who have used this form called Vectomega. As I said, it's from France. Our company licensed it from France. And the process they created is called vectorization. And it was created at University of Nancy in France. And I've not seen anything like it. It truly is a very different way to get those healthy omega-3s into children and into adults who may have some brain issues as well. And I believe that that's probably a foundational support for anyone who has any type of brain concern, is to get those healthy omega-3 fatty acids on board, either through incorporating tuna and salmon and swordfish, or, you know, the big cold water fatty fish into your diet on a very frequent basis, and or adding in supplementation.
Now, the other thing that comes into play is, do we consider ADHD, I know you mentioned kind of this in the big picture, but do we consider it an inflammatory situation?
Yes, I think that a lot of people who have trouble with focus, a lot of people who have trouble with social perceptive issues, have somewhat higher levels of inflammation in the brain than individuals who do not. They've also found that people who struggle with depression and other types of imbalances in brain chemistry also tend to have a fair amount of inflammation going on. And since omega-3 fatty acids are particularly good at helping to reduce inflammation, I think that that's yet another reason why they are especially good at helping kids who have this concern.
Now, one more question before we go. We talked about sleep a little bit, but sleep is a big issue. Of course, drinking plenty of water. How many hours do you think a kid needs, and how many hours do you think an adult needs if we are in this ADHD situation that could make a dramatic difference?
Well, I think that it's always a struggle, and children that sometimes have hyperactivity issues have a lot of difficulty sleeping. And there are some things. We have a product called AnxioCalm, which is a clinically studied product that is safe to use in children that helps with letting go of some of that hyperactive thinking. You know, you get caught in these loops of what if, or imagining things, that thinking where your brain is, you know, barreling down the road at 60 miles an hour. It helps to, like, pull the clutch and let people break a little bit and slow down. I really like that because it's not addictive and it's non-habit forming, and people have used it in the daytime as well because it's non-sedating. So you can use it to help kids relax at night so that they can listen to their own normal sleep signals, and you can also use it in the daytime as needed, both adults and children. And for a healthy adult, estimates range somewhere between 7 and 9 hours of sleep for a healthy adult, And for children, depending on their age, for some children it might be 10 or 11 hours a night. But I think as long as children are getting at least 8 or 9 hours a night, older children, they're going to be functioning a lot better than children who are getting 6 or 7 hours of fragmented sleep.
Okay. I think there's a lot of things that we can look at here, and I think there's a lot of things that we're probably going to hear down the road. I don't see this slowing down anytime soon. I think we're probably going to hear more about ADHD.
I think we are, too. I think we need to fix what's going on with children's levels of activity and adults' levels of activity, and I think we need to fix big food. We need to fix our diet, and until we get those things under control, we're going to continue to see some of these issues.
You know, and one quick question. Is this more of a United States thing, or is it spreading around the world?
You see more problems with ADD and ADHD in industrialized countries and much less in countries that are not industrialized. So doesn't that suggest that there are things going on with our modern lifestyle that are causing children to have these neurological differences, some of which may provide them with advantages in certain situations, but if they spiral out of control and if they get to levels that are disrupted or where they cannot even function in a classroom situation, that's when it becomes a problem, and that's when we have to look at what can we do to help these kids get that behavior back into a more comfortable range.
All right. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is Talk Healthy Today show on Radio MD, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at europharmausa.com for more information on this and all of my show segments. Remember to go to my radio show page at radiomd.com. Look for the Talk Healthy Today show for the on-demand podcasts that are available for easy download. I thank you all for listening. Stay well.